Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yep. I want to call it a happy Tuesday to you. I understand why it might not be for those listening, but still, let's have a good time as best as we can. And appreciation once more to D&M Auto Leasing for bringing us that crosstalk where I have a little bit new vocabulary that I did not anticipate that I would. I will try not to repeat it on air. I don't think it's actually a problem, but, you know, I'm scared. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be scared in this moment. I think that that's the best thing for my career.
Somebody lock the door.
That's right. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and I'm Reginald Atatula hanging out with you. Figgy, sorry to bring you back on these terms. I thought we'd be having a lot more fun today, buddy.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Me too.
Man.
I was about to stand outside the academy.
Yeah. Man. Like, I had thought about it.
You know what? I was debating on, like, going, but I'm like, the game a little too close. I got to watch.
Wait, so there were people that were posted out there just like, it's going to get done.
I saw a couple of posts. There were Cougs fans waiting outside academy.
I ain't going to lie. When they was up, like, 12, I was thinking, like, okay. Yeah. I think, should I make my way to academy right now? But there was a little too much time left.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you somehow don't know what we're talking about, last night in the national championship game, the Cougs, after leading, I think, with 2 minutes to go, literally all three of the Final Four games, or the games within the Final Four in the national championship game, the team that was leading at the last timeout ultimately lost the game. And if you, that obviously means that the Cougs fall to the Gators. 2 points, 65-63. And who are you more mad at? And maybe this isn't the way to put this, but like, where do you place more blame? I don't know how you want to phrase it. Are you most mad at the Gators, the Cougs, or the refs?
Well,
713-572-4610 is the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line.
The Texas Hammer!
Welcome back, Jim. Also, the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers live stream.
We keep it 100.
On YouTube and Twitch, available for you.
I missed her. hit me again, Figgy.
We keep it 100.
I missed her so much. All right, so like everybody, you know, we're texting over the course of the game with various friends with different levels of fandom, you know, when it comes to the Cougs. And I got all three of these. You got to give the Gators credit.
Oh, people on your phone were just lashing out in all directions, huh?
Yeah, you know, you got to give the Gators credit. And the point that they made was valid. Like, Gators fans today are saying all the exact same things that Cougs fans said on Saturday night. Gritty, tough, forcing turnovers, getting the ball, making big shots, taking the other team out of its game. But that's not how it feels from the Cougs fans' perspective. Sure. That's how it feels from the Gators. So are you mad at the Gators because they did that? Or are you mad at the Cougs because they imploded and we just talked about it there at the end with the turnovers and, you know, what was it, 4 straight possessions without even taking a shot?
Yeah.
4 straight possessions at the end of the game without even taking a shot. Are you mad at the Cougs? You know, obviously we all feel for Emmanuel Sharp, but, you know, sort of mad at him, mad at I've seen people texting me, you know, Kelvin Sampson, why are you walking the ball up the floor? Why are you playing for the win? You know, why shouldn't you, you know, this and that. or you're mad at the refs. And that, and let's just be honest, that's the one I got the most of, you know, because I know so many Cougs fans, including my middle son, who I really need to console almost every 10 minutes because he's just sick about it. The answer, Reggie, is all three. The answer is yes on all three. The answer is yes.
There's definitely room for all of them. I think that's what makes it a good question to kind of probe our psyche. Let's stop down on one of the things that you asked about why are you walking it up, or why did that final play look the way that it did? And I'll circle back around. And there's no better person to ask about that than head coach of the Houston Cougars, Kelvin Sampson. This was him on the podium after the game about that final play.
It's a possession. What did you want?
Well, we didn't need a three, but if Emmanuel got clearance, there's no reason why he shouldn't take that. I mean, Emmanuel's a big shot taker. We ran a misdirection. We ran LJ off a stagger, and then we ran Emmanuel up the gate. That play, as we've worked on that play many times. But you know, you've got to get a shot attempt in that situation. That's where I'm disappointed that we didn't get a shot attempt. Previous possession, we didn't get a shot attempt. And those are the things that, you know, you will have to live with this game.
Yeah, and I didn't mind it personally at all, you know, how they played that last shot.
You didn't?
I mean, he just talked about it. It's something they've run. You got to go with something you're confident in. It's something that Emmanuel Sharpe has done. You got to go with a player that can make and is unafraid to take the big shot. It was the execution. You know, it was just a complete abomination of the execution. The only slight problem I had with it was they were casual coming up the court with the ball. You know, get it up the court, give yourself more chances too. But that's after the fact, sort of, you know, just criticism, you know, after it doesn't work. If it worked, we'd have all been happy.
Sure, but I also feel like in that moment when I was watching it with a group of, a pretty nice selection of Cougs fans in Edo, in that moment, I'm like, yo, I hate what's happening right now. Go early. Like, literally the words that I was saying.
The walking it up is what got
go early. Yeah. Go early. It felt like one of those moments where you got to understand not just the circumstance, but the offense that you've been running. And they had been, the offense had been paltry down the stretch there. So I'm like, go early. Give yourself a chance to get a shot up. And then more specifically, lean on what your offensive identity has been, not just in this game, but all season long, which is, we are not the team that draws up the pretty play. This is Kelvin Sampson's words almost verbatim.
He said it in the last timeout.
We're not the team that draws up the pretty play, but we're going to get a rebound and put the shot up, and ultimately that possession will be 2 points, just like if you drew up the pretty play. And it felt like they were going for the pretty play in a way that I understand what he was saying. Kelvin Sampson, everything he said there was factually correct, and I think I understand where he's coming from. One, also trying to be, you know, protective in some ways of his guys, while also being honest. But at the same time, I'm like, go early, first and foremost, and give yourself an opportunity to maybe get a rebound and allow your bigs to get in here and factor in, or maybe get a second shot with a tap out, which they've been very, very good at. But also for me, the thing that really frustrated me, the thing that really grinded my gears in that moment, is that all the action, right, like there was actions happening, but all the actions are happening above the break, above the three-point line, and there's nothing that's actually forcing the Florida defense to move and take accounting and like and maybe even miss an assignment that would allow an easier shot. Everything was happening in front of them that made it put the onus entirely on the Cougs to make something amazing happen, which, again, if you lean on the idea for the last 4 minutes or so, actually 2 minutes because there was a tip back with 2 minutes to go, the last 2 minutes of the game, you had not really found offense. Like, I don't think that you should lean on the idea that we're just going to beat them on this possession.
No, I agree with you, but I think that's where you give Florida credit. That's where you give them credit for the way they I mean, they did that almost the entire second half. Really, really stretching the Cougs out. Again, the one thing I agree with you on is just the pace of getting into that play. But let's go through them all, because I just said the answer is yes. Let's credit the Gators. Let's be mad at the Cougs, and let's be mad at the refs. Going through these things, like the Gators, you really do have to give them credit. It might hurt.
100%.
It is absolutely something that you didn't want to see. But they were, and I was texting you guys in the first half, they were soft. They were timid and soft in the first half.
Who, the Cougs?
The Gators.
Gators.
They were just getting pushed around. Something at halftime, and maybe this is another comparison to what the Cougs did in the second half against Duke, Todd Golden put some fight in that team, and they wasted no time pushing back. All those five consecutive fouls to open the second half, you're thinking, oh, wow, Cougs are going to run. No, it changed the Gators' mentality and their approach, and their defense started to stretch the perimeter a lot more, which is what you're talking about on the last possession, forced the Cougs into longer passes, tougher shots. They crashed the boards like the Cougs usually do. And on top of that, you know, their big men, the Cougs are still trying to figure out how to stop them from slipping screens.
That was the thing that killed me.
I mean, they just had an open path.
Just a ton of slipping screens, a lot of instances of not getting back quickly.
Yeah.
Because there had to be, I mean, and this was in the first half, there had to be the first 6 points, mm-hmm. I mean, 6 of the first 8 points that were just the ball going over the top right into the post for the easiest and the best, most efficient shot in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, all the emotions are coming back up.
All three of these things, I want you to get your reaction and figure if you got any.
Honestly, my answer is going to exist with the Cougars. I think that they had ample opportunity to win this basketball game. Mm-hmm. And the thing that frustrates me the most about this, I talked about that final possession where ultimately it's a turnover because Emmanuel Sharp comes up, right? Comes up off of the pin down. Or I guess the gate action, as they termed it. And he gets an opportunity to try and, like, launch a deep three, which I'm cool with Emmanuel Sharp taking. I would like for it to happen earlier, especially because when you wait that long, the defense can key on the fact that you don't have an opportunity to do anything else. So I can you know, close out, and I can contest this shot heavily knowing I don't think you're actually going to pull this down and take it somewhere else.
Yeah.
He did make the wrong decision in that moment, but I understand how you could. Like, you know, jumping as opposed to up faking and then...
Yeah.
Taking the drive. Something we saw him do against Duke, mind you.
And that's what Samson apparently told him.
So I understand that happened. But that is one of the last four possessions where this team turned over the basketball and didn't get a shot.
Right.
And that is so antithetical to who this team has been. Like, this team is typically the one that takes care of the basketball. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll ask this as a question here, Lopez. Who looks like the more experienced team in this game? Especially down the stretch.
Let me answer that with, I think, another type question.
Yeah, question asking.
Because, okay, we just gave the Gators credit. Now let's be mad at the Cougs.
Oh, I was already there.
I know.
Welcome. We have refreshments on the side table.
I have never seen them so out of character, ever. They were completely out of character. And I go back to something that happened in the first timeout of the game when they were asking... They were asked, what's the sideline reporter's name? I'm drawing a blank.
Was it Tracy Wolfson?
Tracy Wolfson asked Kelvin Sampson about them not hitting a three. I think they were 0-for-7 at the point. At that point, 0-for-3, and he said, "Well, it's a national championship game. Our guys are nervous.
Since when?
They're going to settle in." And after the game, I kept going back to that. Did they ever get over the nerves, the Cougs? That's putting a lot on them. But they sure did look like a team. Like they committed. Four turnovers in the first 36 minutes. They committed five in the last four. And then, of course, we know what happened in the final moments, and their offense was just so out of sorts. Credit to the Gators, of course. And you couldn't even take up a shot?
You think the lights was too bright for U of H?
I think they wanted it so bad.
And Sampson.
They wanted it so bad for Kelvin Sampson that they were out of sorts. They were not themselves.
That's interesting. I don't know if I felt that fully. It just felt the thing that felt like it came up is the typical backstop for this team is, well, we're going to knock down some threes here and there,
yeah,
or we're just going to like shut down your possessions. And to be fair, the winning team scored all of 65 points. So the defense was there to a large degree,
mm-hmm,
but they typically do not have the huge dry spells that they did in late parts of the second half, right, that allowed what was at a 12-point lead at one point to disintegrate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that they typically do to other teams. And to be fair, Florida is a great team. It's one of the things that we kind of talked about with all of these Final Four teams coming into this is that mm-hmm these historically are top 10 all-time teams that have made it or that have played in college basketball, and so it made sense that they were in the Final Four. So a team like that you believe is capable of having a 10-0 run. That's the type of thing that's necessary to be a champion. You just typically don't see that against the Cougs getting 10-0'd.
Right.
And usually there's like a LJ Cryer 3 to stop that, or Milos Uzan 3. And it just felt like the ways in which at any given point during this year, one of the guys, one of the big dogs, Juwan Roberts, LJ Cryer, Milos Uzan, sometimes Emmanuel Sharp, somebody does something to stop the bleeding. And it felt like in this game, they were looking around and none of them ultimately gave them that tourniquet they were looking for.
They weren't themselves. There has to be something there. Now, let's real quick let's be mad at the refs, okay? Because a lot of people are blaming the refs.
I can't get myself to that place.
Well, here's the thing, and let's just kind of parse it out here. They called four. This is the argument that I will listen to. They called four fouls total in the first half.
Yes,
and then all hell broke loose. So the Cougs didn't quite know how to play. You know, in fact, you know, after the technical on the Florida bench, which everybody kind of got up after a wild call, the fouls were 11 for Houston and 1 for Florida. So I'm not saying the refs blew the game
sure. In
terms of like a call, although we can talk about the goaltending and the butterfly effect there from the first half.
Yeah,
Cougs would have been up 8 at halftime instead of 3. That, you know, that might have been something. But let's set that aside, like a particular call. I think the refs kind of got in the Cougs' heads also. It's like, man, you call 4 fouls the whole first half and we're all over these cats? And then you call, was it 3 fouls in 9 seconds
on
the Cougs?
Yes.
And then 11-1 at the end of the game? That's what I'm saying. Like, just how they called the game, not a particular call.
I think that's fair, but I think that doesn't raise to the point of being mad or anger for me. I think you're right. It's worth noting, and I'm glad that you have, especially that the goaltend that was missed. Like, that was absolutely something that is going to, I'm sure it's dropped into the stomachs of a lot of Cougs fans out there.
Yeah.
But, man, I really continue to look at all of these games in the tournament, and I saw the, you know, kind of lackadaisical officiating. And I think that we get more of this as we watch so much basketball, and we watch it in a very clear manner, and we have opportunities to see instant replays and then people on Twitter screen grabbing and being able to Zapruder film.
Exactly.
Like, we get a feeling for the misses that are going to happen in everyday officiating. I do understand, like, the wild swing in the way that the game was called, but ultimately for me, the thing that changed this game was not being able to score baskets for a long period of time. And I don't think that was due to the officials, even though I don't think the officials were particularly good. I think you could say the same thing in that Duke game. We saw the various ways. In fact, we mentioned it that there was weird things like, you know, calling obvious, like not even like tough calls, but just like the ones that you feel like should be made.
Yeah.
You know, just irregularly for officials. Those were not made. I'm not willing to get to that place. It just felt like, and again, if you talk about the refs getting in their head, that is also very far away from who the Cougs have been. They've been the steady team. They're the experienced team. You expect them to take most of those types of things in stride. Ultimately, they just didn't knock down shots, and they especially didn't get off shots in the times where they really, really needed it. Really stinks, because this felt like an opportunity, and we can talk more about this as we go, and we will on this program. What this means in a larger scale, like once we get past that, you have a 69-year-old head coach. You have Juwan Roberts, who's done with this college career. Like, that's the part that really makes it suck, is that it feels like this was your shot. This was your best shot that you had. I mean, not just feels. It is literally the best shot you've had in decades.
Since 1983.
And you were a large part in the reason why it didn't happen. It didn't get taken from you. You gave it away.
Yeah.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Just getting going on a Tuesday here in the great city of Houston. Coming up next, let's circle around to the other team that was playing about the same time last night, the Houston Astros. And I've got a question for you. Again, 713-572-4610. Are you having fun watching these Astros early on? Let's talk about that next.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready, because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez.
It is what it is, means nothing.
And Reggie Adetula.
And that, my friends, is a scorigami.
Always live, always local.
713, what's the damn number? 572-4610.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio.
Yep.
in the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Reginald Latitude, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, hanging out with you on this Tuesday. Hope that you are managing. Hope that you're doing all right. And honestly, if you're having a good day, God bless you. I'm happy about that for you. We're making it through after the Cougs fall in the national championship game. It felt like it was the opportunity to do it, man. It felt like this was their time. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen. So that happens, right? Like, you have that game. And then as it's happening, I think about an hour into it, right? Because the Cougs game starts at 7:50.
Yeah, it timed out pretty good. I could switch away from one hero or whatever it is, one moment, one shining moment, because I hate that now. Right to the Astros.
See, I told you you wouldn't like it. But then you, right to the Astros, who started at 8:40 out there in Seattle, facing off against the Mariners. And during the course of watching this game, again, out amongst the people, which was fun. Shout out to the folks that I got to meet, Roy, Lindsay, George. Good hanging out with them.
Nice.
But, you know, turned to watch the Astros. And one of the things, I don't even remember exactly what was said, but something was said that made me think, man, have we had any fun watching the Astros early on?
Are we having fun yet?
Like, are you having fun? 713-572-4610 is the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Are you
the
having
Texas
fun?
Hammer?
My bad, Jim. Mm-hmm. Are you having fun? You too, Jim. Are you having fun watching these Astros this year? Because that feels like something that maybe we had taken for granted. We had had a lot of fun watching the Astros for the last decade. It's just like you anticipate baseball season comes around and you may not win every game. I mean, I have a strong feeling that you're not going to go 1,000 as a baseball team, right? I think that that's fair. But you largely expect, if I turn on this game, we're going to have fun. If I go out to the park, we're going to have fun.
Yeah.
You are, what, 10 games into this season, you are 4-6, and I don't know that I've had fun. Like, even on Sunday when you had an, you know, you had a 9-7 overtime or extra time victory, you went to 10 innings. I thought that that was more of an exhale than I had fun, which feels kind of wild considering that you came into spring training with such intrigue with this team. I haven't had fun yet. Have
well,
you?
I would put it this way. For the last 8 years, however long, you watch every Astros game knowing they're not going to win every one, but you expect them to have a chance to win every one. Like you always felt, oh, let's see how they do it today, you know? Even though they didn't always do it, you always had that confidence that they could do it. I would say now I'm watching the Astros with sports anxiety, not anxiety like, oh my gosh, you know my mortgage is due or something like that, but sports anxiety of just like, I don't know if they're capable of doing what they need to do here. Totally different, a complete 180 from the last 8 years, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and I think obviously. The tough part about it is offense is going to be fun. Like that's inherent to fun baseball.
Is it?
I think so. Like, what's your counter argument here? That just like, hey, as long as you win, it's fun.
Oh no, I'm saying this offense.
No, I'm just saying offense in general. Offense is inherent to fun baseball, and I think that's one of the big issues here. Not saying anything novel. Everybody knows. Everybody's seen it. The offense has not been clicking, and even with that, like you haven't the instances where you've kind of gotten a hold of a baseball. They found their ways directly to gloves, or you've stranded some runners here and there, like when you have managed to get them. Even yesterday, you're down 2-1 against the Mariners after, I mean, Hayden Wesneski was good. Like, that's another part of this, right? Because the pitching has been pretty damn solid, man, and that's probably an understatement. Like, the pitching has been really good at the, when it comes to the starters. Your pen has been decent enough, has been solid. And then, you know, you give yourself an opportunity, and they're just close for no real reason, and then you finally get an opportunity. You get people and runners in scoring position. You get Christian Walker up to the plate, and he hits a hot shot to third base, and that allows a couple of runs to score. But that's an error because the third baseman absolutely had an opportunity to get his glove on it. And even in that instance, you're like, all right, cool, we gonna sneak out of here with the victory, and then immediately it's getting back.
No, this was a very well pitched game on both sides. You could even, you know, largely credit the bullpen. Obviously, the back end, Abreu did a job, you know, again, after a little bit of a sticky situation there at the end. But no, it's the confidence you have in the clutch hits has absolutely vanished.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's actually a great point to make, is like the clutch hits, because I don't need them to be hitting up and down the lineup, like turn over the lineup every inning, which that is a fun style of baseball also, right? But
at the very least, knowing that, hey, when you have the opportunity to have a clutch hit, here it comes. And they haven't done that either, which is, I think that starts with Yordan not having, being able to swing the bat in a way that is like super confident either. Because at the very least, one of the things that's fun is, all right, here he's on deck. Oh, now here he is at the plate. Like, you have guys that you go, all right, we've had a rough stretch through the lineup. We come back around, and now here's an opportunity to hit something. It's just kind of shocking to me that we're in this place. Shocking is a fair. Like, eventually, that's going to change, right? You're not going to be the same team that you – and, of course, you haven't been the same team for the whole decade, but you've largely been able to do things that give you really fun baseball. It was just kind of an interesting realization in the moment to be like, man, I'm not watching this baseball having fun. I'm watching this baseball with a level of anxiety.
713, nope, not having fun watching the Astros. It's very, very understandable. And, Arik, as you said, it's hard to be mad at the offense because we didn't know what the expectations were offensively, you know, coming into the season. The one thing that they're not getting, and by the way, you know, this is for its early guy and anybody else. 10 games is still early, but 10 games is a, you know, if this were August, is a legit sample size. Hey, you know, let's say this was August. Hey, the Astros have done this the last 10 games. That's a fair discussion. All right, just because it's the first 10 games doesn't mean anything. They have now gone 10 games. And the offense continues to struggle. So I get that it's early and things can change, but that's a big sample size of Jeremy Peña not getting it done, Christian Walker not getting it done. Yonner Diaz is flat out in a funk. Like, he is in a funk. He's allowed 5 stolen bases as a defensive catcher.
And can we press pause right there? Yeah. Right in that spot, right? Yeah. The idea of the stolen bases, that the willingness the teams have to run. How much of that do you put on Yainer Diaz and trying to, like, actually get the ball and get it to second base? How much do you put that on the second baseman? And how much do you put that on the starting pitchers? Because I do feel like they're not delivering that baseball.
Or pitchers in general.
With tempo.
It's always a combination. It's always a combination. But the fact that there are guys that have not given up five stolen bases in 10 games is a sign of where Yainer is defensively. Whether it's the pitcher or the second baseman or whatever, there are, you know, 29 other teams. I think only 5 have given up more, as many or more stolen bases. But that's the defensive side. Dude, he's batting .067. He's batting .067 with a .125 on-base percentage. Whether that's April, May, June, July, that's a 10-game sample that you just can't have.
Yeah, 2 for 29 to start the season. From the 713 on the text line, Joe Espada kills the fun for me. He is the David Culley of baseball, but for whatever reason, is being given more than 1 year. Wow, that hurts. But, I mean, somebody else mentioned that they're not having fun because of the roster construction. And, I mean, that would be less Espada and more of Dana Brown. Like, how much of that comes into it for you? Like, can you isolate a little bit further what we're doing here? Because there's things that you can look at and go, I mean, this feels like it's not enjoyable within the way that this thing is structured.
Well, you know, we gave Dana Brown a ton of credit for filling the spots that were, you know, obviously very, very big to this club over the last few years in Bregman and Tucker. We gave him credit for filling with what seemed to be like, you know, adequate, if not better than adequate, replacements in Paredes and Christian Walker. Well, both those guys had some question marks. Christian Walker has not been able to answer them. And so now you have to start seeing how it goes from here, because 10 games, like I said, doesn't matter what month it is. That's something.
Well, I mean, they're back at it again. T-Mobile Park tonight, of course, another late game with them being on the West Coast. And I mean, look, I also want to give a little bit of, I think in this game in particular, because the question is more about the entirety of the season, but in that game last night in particular, I don't know, did you feel as bad about it in the individual, right? Because, I mean, Logan Gilbert's a really good pitcher, and so I understand why it was difficult to kind of get some runs on the board because Logan Gilbert is good, but, man, I'm hoping that they can fare a little bit better today in trying to get some offense on the board, but that's all hope. Like, it really is just existing in the realm of hope right now for me.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And just as a side note, boy, these U of H techs, people are just sick, man.
Yeah,
and
yeah, they are
blaming everybody. I said you can blame all three. All three are getting blamed.
They should,
and then some.
They should. It's not a fun day, and that's kind of one of the ways that sports fans will cope with a loss. All right. Framber Valdez. Out. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Flashing out or crashing out?
Both.
Framber Valdez on the mound for the Astros today. He looked like he might have been sick, and there was a little bit of questions as to whether he would go. He will go tonight opposite Luis Castillo, another good pitcher. Obviously, the Mariners have pitching. We'll see about their offense. But, yeah, money line is even in this one, which is never fun considering the Seattle Mariners bats stink. And maybe what does that say? Yeah. But yeah, you mentioned the text coming in, folks lashing out or whatever. Let's get to the question of the day coming up next. What do you do to manage and to deal with and to cope with a terrible sports loss? Let's do a little bit of sports therapy together. We'll do that next.
Live from the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, yep, you're in the loop here on a Tuesday as we all commiserate what happened last night. The Cougs falling to the Florida Gators in the national championship game, 65-63. And in that honor, in that spirit, because I know the folks of Houston, even if you didn't go to Houston, everybody was riding for Houston, man.
Big time.
Everybody was riding for Houston. I saw plenty of people that did not go to Houston that honestly were like typically not Houston fans. Shout out to T-Mill. T-Mill was out there repping hard. And even he took it hard. And so I kind of wanted to get a feel for, especially if you're listening, I know you're a sports fan. We've all been through this in sports. I don't think there's a sports fan that exists that has not had a moment similar to this where you're like, yo, this one hurts me to my core. Mm-hmm. This one cut me deep. And so the question of the day, what do you do in those moments? Like, what is your coping mechanism? How do you get through this? I think let's work together to make ourselves try and feel a little bit better through this. Because I know I was mentioning with Sean in the handoff and the crosstalk is I got friends that immediately go, well, let's go fix this. Like, I'm going to take this into my own hands. I know I can't do anything for the boys on the court, but I'm going to take this to 2K and we're going to whoop up on that team. We're going to put about 300 points on them. And then I will feel a small bit better about myself through doing it.
You really do that?
I don't. Oh, I was never that guy, but I definitely know people that do. They were like,
they start playing video games.
Bump that, right? Like, I'm gonna fix it. I'm gonna go whoop their asses on the video game in order
screw
to make myself
Florida.
Feel better.
Yeah, screw.
But that did make me think. I was like, do we have a college basketball game still out here?
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
Are you gonna have to just make that happen in a different way? But yeah, what is your coping mechanism to deal with a game like that? 713-572-4610.
The first thing that popped into mind was the bottom of a vodka bottle, but that's probably not the right answer.
Look, it is the right answer for a lot of people. Is it the healthiest answer is probably what you're speaking to. And you know what?
I'm not saying I've never done that.
It's funny. Every time I go through something like that, I never turn to liquor.
Really?
Like, I use liquor as like a celebration.
I've done.
I never look at it like, man, I'm sad. I'm pissed off. Let me drink.
Just drink yourself numb. Again, I'm not saying I've never done that, but generally I'm as you guys know, if you've watched games with me, and I'm not real like overtly emotional one way or the other, like yeah or oh no, you know, I just kind of absorb it. I guess it's just my training over
I'm generally not either
over years.
You know what makes that different?
If you're in a crowd, it's different.
Yes.
Yeah.
It takes I was jumping up out the seat. I was doing all of that. Yeah. I was in a different place, which made the crash harder.
Yeah, if you're in a crowd, it's different, like at a restaurant or a bar or something. But even with like family and friends at my house, I'm generally just kind of like focused in.
Yeah. You
know, I get all into it. But if they lose, especially if they lose, like last night, I was sick, and my middle son, man, I feel so bad for him. He was like literally, I can only imagine, I haven't heard, but like literally you could just sick, like just sick. Like didn't want to do anything, didn't want to see anyone or whatever. I've been there before. That's probably my best coping. But you were talking about, how about you, Figgy?
Yeah, so me, usually, like last night, whenever like a good team or my favorite team or my squad loses like that, especially like that, I turn the TV off. I ban SportsCenter. I don't watch ESPN. Mm-hmm. And this really hit me home because I got to go to work. And what do I do for work?
Talk
about sports. Like, man, like, I don't blame any of the listeners who say, you know what? I'm not listening to Sports Radio 610. Mm-hmm. I'm just going black because I don't want to hear about this game ever again. And that's what I that's what I
Sean says
to.
He never even watches it again.
The game again. Yeah, yeah, no, that game's done.
I'm the same way.
Yep. Like, I don't want to see no replays and social media love retweeting the replay of the last 10 seconds and all that stuff. Man, I don't want to see none of that, man.
Full denial. I respect it.
I don't want to see it. I want to erase it.
Some other answers that have come in on the text line. Cope by smoking dank and playing video games. All right. I feel you. Someone said drinking to a pass out. Okay. I feel you. Like, hey, man, we going night night.
Yeah.
Somebody else said up here in Kansas, repping the Cougs the whole way. Hey, shout out. Yeah. I appreciate you. Talk that talk.
Salute, man.
Especially because it's not like them Kansas fans going to say that to you. Yeah. Exactly. That's how some people go. It's like they go on the offensive, right? Like, I'm going to talk trash to you. Because we was in the game. Where were you? You can't hate from outside the club. And then a few people have mentioned that they just go dark like you guys were talking about.
One thing I don't ever want to hear, and I might even tell you something about it, is, oh, man, they had a good year. You know, oh, man, you know, just think about who they have coming in next year.
Oh, you hate the people trying to console it?
They'll be back.
You know what?
They'll be back.
Before the game even tipped off, I was sitting there thinking, like, you know what? No matter what happened, no, it's been a fun year.
It's easy to say.
But knowing how it played out, I'm like, nah, man, I can't say that, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't say that. But I was getting ready to say that. I was getting ready to be like, you know what? I don't care.
I wanted to say it. I wanted to believe it, but
I'm like, if they get blown out or they lose by 1 point, like, I'm good to say they got a good year. But the way that ended, I'm like, nah, man, I can't say
that. You can't invalidate the whole year. See, you can't say it yet. That's what you need a little space. All right, we're trying to be a little healthier, right? Everybody trying to get a little bit better about
themselves. Well, the text I just got said, not going to lie, the bottom of a vodka bottle works.
Yeah, yeah.
What about the people that say, hey, y'all going hard on the kids? Come on, man. These are kids.
I don't think I've gone hard on the kids. Like, that's one of the things I actually very much try to do is not go crazy on them kids. Especially, that's one of the tough things about college sports in particular. You, like, sometimes you're just mad at a particular dude. And I'm like, ooh, does this like, it has some to people, raise to a certain level.
Some people was going crazy on them. And my first thought was like, dang, man, they like 21 years old, 22. But still, man, that still
hurt. But Jawan,
man.
The one kid that would feel the wrath is Emmanuel Sharp. But I just feel bad for him,
actually, man. I feel sorry for him.
All right,
man.
So I'm going to actively do the thing that I said I try not to do. You know the person on that play that I actually was a little mad at that, again, I'm going to try and be very careful about because I thought he was very, very good early on in the space of not having some other guys in that same position playing as well? Javier Francis.
Yeah.
Because you had one guy, I can't remember who the other big was that set the screen on that kind of that little gate action. He was supposed to set a second screen, which is why the Florida defender was able to, you know, force Emmanuel Sharp to drop the basketball.
Yeah.
And he just didn't set that screen. I was like, come on, dog. You've been in here showing out today. This is
the
time.
That's not picking on anybody. These are professional athletes, you know, and they're veterans, and they know that, you know, they talked about the mistakes they made. That's just talking about the mistake. You know, not talking about the mistake is not fair either.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. So, in trying to be healthy, I'm not going to lie. Like, after this game, I was feeling so bad. I did my Googles on the best way to deal with disappointment.
Oh, here we go.
So let's see if any of these things apply and if we can, like, utilize any of these things.
Psychoanalyst.
All right, number one, let your feelings out. It's natural to feel upset or even inconsolable. Are we good with that? Like, did everybody get to that place where they were just like,
but I don't let my feelings out.
You don't?
I just kind of
sulk. Bottle it up.
I just sulk.
I'm just going
to
keep.
It's best just to you know, suppress
shove it deep down.
Suppress it all in here.
Until it explodes in an unhealthy manner.
That's my theory. Just keep it in there until one day it goes off.
I keep it in there. I just go silent. Like, I after the game, I went upstairs and my wife was like, who won the game? I'm like, they lost.
Who do you think?
I'm like, they lost.
Look at my face.
And now she want to know how they lost. Yeah. And I'm like, what you care for?
Yeah. Suppress your feelings.
They lost.
Keep
that's
them all wound
matter.
Up nice and tight.
All right. Look, we're just going to go down the list and tell me if you're feeling it or not. Like, if you were willing to
implement on the first
one. All right. You started. That felt like the easy one. Letting your feelings out. Because I was just letting the F word go all day long. And it wasn't like I'm angry. It was just one of those moments where you go,
Bleep. Yeah, well, bleep.
No, I had to sit there and look like, they really lost this game?
I can't believe it, bro.
All the stuff started coming down from the sky. I'm like,
Florida led for a minute.
I was sitting there like Kelvin Sampson, man. I was just stuck.
Stunned, bro.
I was just like, man, they really lost?
Go ahead, what else you got?
All right, put your problems in perspective. So obviously, like, I could tie that in with three. Be grateful, right? Like, and that's probably the, hey, this is a great season. Man, these dudes made it all the way to the national championship. Like, that's probably the be grateful. Y'all feeling it? Y'all hearing it?
These are all solid that I don't do and don't care to ever do.
Yeah, that's why you're not healthy. That's why you're not healthy. Like, I think that you're very close to figuring that part out. Take some time to heal, which definitely the people that are like, look, I'm stepping away from it.
So that might be one I actually do.
You do? You're just like...
But I'm away from everybody. I'll go fishing a lot. I've done that. I've gotten on my boat.
That's a good one. Just like, go do something you like to do.
I just call off of work.
I'm
man.
Out. Yeah.
Just don't even come in. Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I would do is like,
call in sick. Because you are sick.
If I have the availability to, I'll just go play basketball. Like, yeah. I'm going to go do something I know mm-hmm. that I enjoy. Take some time to reflect on what you can learn from the situation. I don't know how I'm going to apply that one. adjust your expectations is crazy. Because
nah, man,
I wasn't disappointed because the expectations were wrong. Like, in some instances, I think that's fair, right? If you just got blown out, you're like, all right, maybe I was expecting a little bit much. Maybe they,
but that's
they
only if you really recognize that you weren't the better team.
They were the better team. That's the most frustrating.
It's easy
thing.
To
you
do,
were on your way to win.
Yes.
And then see the silver lining, which it do,
show
you, guys,
me the silver
you got
lining.
A silver lining in this,
show
guys.
Me the silver lining.
Nah, man. I'm over here thinking about them t-shirts. How fire them t-shirts is going to be at Academy, man.
I was ready to get
I was ahead of the track, and I ain't tweeted. I ain't say nothing. I was just thinking in my brain, like, should I go to Academy?
You can go to Sri Lanka and get a couple.
Yeah.
Because they're
go over to India.
They're going
to
ship them all to, Sri Lanka, India,
man.
Whatever, Pakistan.
Man.
Pakistan thinks the Cougs won.
All right. Not yet. They haven't sent them yet. They boxing things up. Some more texts that came in. Watched at Avenida Plaza. Tried to go black like Figgy was talking about, but had a long drive back to the Woodlands. So just put 610 on and just salt. They mourn for a short time, and then they work to sharpen skills, study, invest, those types of things. And then 619. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
They said clap cheeks, and I have a feeling that they're not talking about
rough.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
Oh, God.
Look, if you're looking for endorphins, that is a way to get endorphins. I can't say anything about that. People mourn and people manage in different ways. So
I think
I
what made it worse
that.
For me too this morning, I'm driving there. I'm like, you know what? I'm switching music. I got to get my mind right.
Everybody talking about it.
And no, it was a billboard. It was a billboard. I usually pass this Cougs billboard, right?
No.
I think it's like right by 59 and 45 right there. They was putting a new one up.
They was putting
a brand new one up. Like, I think it was like a thank you, Coach Sampson type of deal. So I'm just like, oh, my God, man. Why y'all doing this?
Because they thought what we thought. They thought it was about to be a celebration.
I thought they was taking it down. I thought they was just taking the old one down. But I'm like, oh, y'all putting another one up. I'm like, thank you for the season type thing.
Yeah.
I'll save that for confessions. I'm not trying to make anybody madder than they need to be right now. For the 281, I had 41 years to heal. And last night,
I'm telling you, man, the
Band-Aid was ripped off over again.
Anybody who was around in 1983, it was eerie to me. And that's what kind of made me the most sick.
Please don't tell me it's going to take 40 years for me.
Dude.
No, and here's the thing.
I could check myself right. I could tell you exactly where I was when Lorenzo Charles hit that shot. And now here we go again.
Reggie, stop. Nobody wants to hear that Google crap. All right. I was just trying to see if it would help. It's not helping. Let's see if we could just do a show and help. How about this for helping? You know what makes me happy when I'm a little disappointed? Talking to the man, B. Scott. All right, let's go around the NFL next, and we'll get into B. Scott being here. We'll do that next.